Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
The Holy Spirit. We're going to continue in that series tonight. And it's, you know, we've been talking, I think last Sunday night, we talked about being led by the Spirit means that you walk in the Spirit. And we talked about walking in the Spirit last week, last Sunday night. And a lot of what I'm going to say is really going to support and be extra ammunition from what Billy Walker told you this morning. It's amazing how these messages on the Holy Spirit tie in with what Billy's teaching us out of Romans on Sunday morning. And I want to tell you, brother, you don't ever need to go to seminary. You're as good a Bible teacher as I've ever heard. Amen. And he's never spent a day in Bible college. It, just fantastic. So I don't want to swear your head, but that's just the truth. So, walking in the Spirit. I want to talk to you tonight about taking every thought captive. Taking every thought captive. Now, we're going to start over here in 2 Corinthians 10. And if you would find 2 Corinthians 10. And let me read verses 4. Let's see. Let me start at verse 3. 3, 4, and 5. Ed Ellen, she's slick, isn't she? She did a fantastic job. Really did great this morning. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, come on now, say amen. Amen. We do not war according to the flesh. Now that's a great statement right there. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not worldly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Heavenly Father, we sure need your help one more time today in rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just a spokesperson. I'm just the mailman. I'm just the delivery boy tonight. And I want to be used. And so just speak through me tonight, Lord. Impart truth. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth tonight so that the word of God might be amplified in our hearts and so that the Son of God might be glorified. Thank you, Lord, for this time together with the saints of God here at Second Mile Church. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Walking in the Spirit, how many of you have found out it's no automatic thing? It's a battle. But Billy mentioned it this morning. It's where I want to begin our message tonight. When Christ died on the cross, our relationship to sin dramatically changed. When Christ died, that atoning sacrificial death on the cross, our relationship to sin was dramatically changed. Now, before our salvation, we were slaves to sin. Didn't Billy cover that well this morning? We were slaves to sin. I mean, we chose to sin. We really fell headlong into sin and didn't even know it and couldn't do anything about it and just didn't even really think about it. We were just slaves to sin. Whatever and whenever Satan pulled up my chain, well, whenever he pulled my chain, I just followed, and so did you before your salvation experience. But when we repented of our sin and trusted Christ, that chain of sin was broken. Oh, Oh, mercy. I wonder sometimes. When we repented of our sin and trusted Christ and Christ alone for our salvation, immediately that chain of sin was broken. We no longer have to give in to the temptation of Satan and the desires of our sinful flesh. And to walk in the Spirit, I believe you first got to come to grips with the fact, as Billy said this morning, we've been set free. That's the key to walking in the Spirit, understanding that you're no longer a slave to sin, that you've been set free from sin. And so I think a lot of Christians tonight forget that fact that I talk to a lot of people every week, and a lot of people think that they've got to follow the desires of their flesh because they don't believe they've got any other choice. Isn't that sad? Because they have to keep confessing the same old sins over and over and over again. And I used to be one of those folks. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but God is working in my life through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, and He's teaching me how to take every thought captive. Romans 6:11 revealed, I think Billy even read that one this morning. Didn't we read that, Billy? Let's look real quick at Romans 6:11. This is going to be key if you're going to get anything tonight from the message. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Are you there? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Satan can tempt us. He can call us. He can test us. He can do a lot of things to us, but he can't touch us unless we allow him to. We've been set free from the power of sin. You see, I think we would all agree we've been set free from the penalty of sin, right? But I don't know how many of us really believe we've been set free from the power of sin as well. But we have. We are dead to sin. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus. That power has been broken. So you'll never walk, listen to me, you'll never learn how to walk in the Spirit unless you're convinced of your freedom. He said that in so many words this morning. You'll never learn how to walk in the Spirit completely until you understand the fact that you have been set free. We've got freedom tonight. Shout freedom.
Freedom.
And so once you realize you're free, the Spirit will then begin to lead you into holiness. And so I want to talk to you tonight about how to take every thought captive. And I started dealing with this stuff years ago. And there's three things I want to say. There's a lot of things I could say tonight about taking every thought captive. But the first key, I think, to taking all these... Now, we've got to get to this point tonight, too. We've not only been set free from sin, but our minds... we still have these impure thoughts, don't we? I mean, come on now. We still have bad thoughts, greedy thoughts. We talked about some of this stuff this morning. And so we need to learn how to take those bad thoughts captive. And I believe the Word of God's going to answer that question for us. First key is mind over matter. Say that with me. Mind over matter. Now, there is an important verse. Well, here it is. 2 Corinthians 10, 5b says this. Bringing every thought, say every thought. Every thought into captivity, how, where? To the obedience of Christ. Now, there's an important relationship between our thinking and our ability to follow the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means that we have set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Look at Romans 8 one more time with me. Billy touched on this and did a... I will always remember his illustration of growing up with a single mom this morning. Wasn't that powerful? Were y'all, some of y'all sleeping? Or that was a powerful illustration this morning. Look what Romans 8 and verse 5 and verse 6 says. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Hello? Right? I mean, if you want to live in the flesh, just go ahead. Just go ahead and follow. Do what your mind tells you to do. But those who live according to the Spirit, what do? The things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so to walk in the Spirit literally means that we must set our mind on the things of the Spirit. Mind over matter, if you will. Now, the Lord Jesus described the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. John 6, can you throw this one up, sister? John 16 and verse 13. The Lord Jesus described the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. There it is. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, what will He do? He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. One of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to lead us in truth. And so, therefore, a mindset of the Spirit is a mind filled with and focused on truth. Say truth with me. So that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Our minds have to be set, have to have the mindset of the Spirit. And the mindset of the Spirit is truth. Because truth glorifies the Lord Jesus. And so, as we talked about, we talked about it this morning, we talked about it last Sunday night, every sinful act that we commit is done twice, once in the mind and once in our behavior. Y'all with me on that? Okay, so to win the battle with our behavior, guess what we've got to do? We've got to win the battle that takes place up here. Stay with me now. Now, walking in the Spirit requires a mindset, a preoccupation with truth. And so I want us to look at some scriptures tonight. 1 Peter 1:13. Take a look at that one with me. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Isn't that a strange way? But what he's saying there is simply this. We've got to be preoccupied with the things of the Spirit. We've got to gird up the loins of our mind. And somebody brought this verse up this morning, Billy. I forget who it was. Colossians 3:2. Colossians 3:2. Remember that? Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We've got to have a heavenly mindset. We've got to have a mindset. We've got to be thinking on the things of the Spirit, which is truth. And then I love Romans 12:2. It says, "Therefore, I beseech ye, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God." Anybody know that verse? That's it. Be not, well, that's verse 2. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And y'all know what the word transformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the word transformed is metamorphosis. Y'all know what that word means. Don't you love those old ugly, slimy, green-looking caterpillars? They're ugly, aren't they? But those things will spin a cocoon when the time's right. And in just a few weeks, what comes out of that cocoon? A butterfly, not just a butterfly, but a beautiful, gorgeous butterfly. A transformation takes place. And that's the word here. And so our minds need to be renewed. They need to be transformed. How do you transform your mind? By what we're doing right now. Setting our minds on things that are above, which is truth. Where do you find truth? In the Word of God. Isn't that good? And so Philippians 8 reveals that we are to Let our minds dwell on good things. Throw that one up there, Miss Ellen. Philippians 4:8. I want y'all to see this one. Uh-oh, are we stuck? Philippians 4:8. There it is. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Negative Nancy needs to get out the front door, okay? Think on these things. You really are who you think you are. And so we need to do these things, the renewing of the mind. And so we're to let our minds dwell on good things. And as the mind goes, so goes the body. So walking in the Spirit involves becoming sensitive to any thought that conflicts with truth. Remember, we're talking about mind over matter. And so anything that conflicts clashes with truth needs to be dealt with. It's not from the Spirit. Anything that cripples our ability to follow the leading of the Spirit, we need to deal with it, need to get rid of it. So we have to get serious about guarding our minds. And when I got serious back a few years ago about guarding my mind, you know what I found out? I realized how polluted my mind was. And Mom, I guess it was about the time I got married to C.W.'s daughter. And I got to looking at my dad, and I got to looking at my father-in-law, and I wanted to be a godly husband. And so I started trying to renew my mind, and what I found out was there was a lot of stuff in my mind that wasn't good. Can I just share something with you? Now, I never heard my dad ever say a curse word. Did you ever hear Dad say a curse word? I never heard my dad one time say a bad word. I wish I could say the same thing about his son. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And so I got under conviction about that. And my daughters and my son have never heard me say an ugly word. I'm telling you, this renewing of your mind can work itself out in your body. I know what we're talking about here, and it's not because I'm somebody special. It's because the power of the Holy Spirit is able to give us victory over the things of the flesh. And so if your mind is like mine, it needs transformation. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so if you want to learn how to walk in the Spirit tonight, you got to make the decision right now, mind over matter. You got to make the decision to win the battle of your mind. You do know there is a battle going on. We've talked about this spiritual battle that's going on. Satan wants to rob, kill, steal, destroy. He not only wants to tear up your testimony, he wants to steal your joy. He wants to destroy your life. I mean, we're not in some playground here. This is a battleground. And the first thing he's coming after, as we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he's coming after this. And so we've got to tonight make the decision, I'm going to win the battle for my mind. All right? Mind over matter. All right, secondly, setting the standard. Now go back to 2 Corinthians 10 and look at 4b. Our weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This statement and this standard assures us that we can have control over what we think. That's the standard. There it is. We've been set free. Remember that? We've been set free. And so when we have thought, and you know, y'all are sitting here right now and you're having thoughts pass through your mind right now. Most of those, bless God, in Second Mile Sanctuary are good thoughts. But every now and then you'll have a bad thought, even right here. So how do we deal with these bad thoughts? Well, Number one, ask yourself, is this thought that I'm having, is it true? Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it admirable? That's stiff criteria, but brothers and sisters, we're talking about survival here. We're talking about how to thrive in this area. And so when any deceitful, lustful, self-destructive thought pops into your mind, destroy it. Say that with me. Destroy it. Get rid of it. Kill it. How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. Well, first of all, recognize what it is. If it's not holy, if it's not pure, if it's not excellent, if it's not praiseworthy, if it's not a good thought, then you destroy it. And the first thing you got to do is recognize it for what it is. It's a lie. A bad thought is not from God. It's either from my flesh or from Satan. And so you just call it for what it is. Just recognize it for what it is. And refuse to think about it, and then reset your mind on what's true. And do it immediately. Don't wait. That's what it means to pull down strongholds. That's what it means to cast down arguments and every high thing. And once you set this standard for your mind, guess what? You'll be amazed at how quickly the Holy Spirit will alert you to these mental intruders. That's a nice way of calling them bad, you know. And so the Spirit of Truth is divinely sensitive to anything that would disrupt our fellowship. Now that you're aware of this, you'll be amazed at how many times a day you're tempted to take hold of these ideas, these notions, these dreams, these fantasies, these bad thoughts that are contrary to the knowledge and the truth of God. And that's right where most of us go wrong. I think we tend to think as long as we don't follow through with what we're thinking about, we're okay. But guess what? That's walking in the flesh. Y'all with me? Okay. So that's a trap. And without knowing it, we've begun walking in the flesh when that happens. It's not enough. Just, I'm not going there. Not enough. You got to deal with it. And so, what's the standard? We're setting the standard tonight. What's the standard? There it is. It's right there in Scripture. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That is the standard that you want to set. So, we first have chosen to enter into the battle for our mind. We're going to win the battle of our mind. And then, in order to win the battle of our mind, we've got to set this standard of pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that enters into our minds against the knowledge of God. And so remember, our mindset is to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. I'm so grateful for the, Dwight, I'm so grateful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you? Well, man, the Holy Spirit is the stepchild of the Trinity. He doesn't get near enough press in Baptist life. But I want to tell you, anything God's doing in my life right now is due to the Holy Spirit. And anything God's doing in the world right now is due to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, His responsibility is to glorify Jesus, and Jesus glorifies whom? The Father. And so you see how all this is working together? Y'all with me so far? Because here's what I really wanted to get to tonight. Now, here's the last key. We've got mind over matter. We're talking about setting the standard. And here's how we take every thought captive: by obedience to the Word of God. What does Paul call the Word of God over in Ephesians 6, 17? The sword of the Spirit, that's right. The sword of the Spirit. And it's, you know, most of all of that spiritual armor that we're supposed to put on, you know, the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and the gospel shoes of peace and the helmet. Most all of that is defensive armor. But the sword, what is a sword? Is that offensive or defensive? Yes, it's our offensive weapon. Didn't Austin Peay pull out the offense yesterday? Y'all don't even know who Austin Peay is, do you? 52-33. Man, what a game. Anyways, they pulled out the offense, and that's what the church needs to do. We need to pull out the offense, and the offense is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Now, there's a connection between the Word of God, get this, and taking every thought captive. There's a tremendous connection there together, and that's what I want to talk about. And what needs to take place is simply this, filling our mind with the specific truths that correspond to the lies that you are tempted to believe. Now, we're not going to go around the room tonight, but you know what your stronghold is. You know what your weakness is. You don't need me to point that out, do you? I mean, you know what that is, right? We've all got weak points. We've all got strong points. We've all got these strongholds in our lives that Satan uses to pull us down, right? Okay, now, so here's what we do. We use the Word of God to confront those lies, call them what they are, destroy them, and then reset or renew our minds with truth. Now, this sounds real simple, but this is the key to winning the victory and taking every thought captive. Here it is. Now, I know we don't have anybody in here that struggles with this. But every now and then I'll run into somebody who really has trouble forgiving somebody that's hurt them. And this kind of person, they don't want to get mad. They just want to get even. Hello? Well, if you struggle with trying to just get even with folks who have hurt you, people who have wronged you, what you need to do is call that a lie. That's a lie from the devil. And then reset your mind according to what truth is concerning that lie. Are y'all with me? Am I making sense? I'm not communicating real well. Here's what you need to do. If you struggle with wanting to get even, by the way, my Bible tells me that I'm not supposed to get even with anybody. Vengeance is mine. I believe that's Romans 12. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. But here's a good memory verse for you out of 1 Peter 3:9. If you struggle with that kind of thing, with forgiveness, wanting to get even with somebody, do not return evil for evil or insult for insult, but with blessing. Know that you were called to this that you might inherit a blessing. You see, the lie that Satan gives you is getting even is beneficial for you. That's what Satan tells us, right? Oh, go ahead and get even with them. You deserve to get even with them. They did you wrong. They shouldn't have treated you that way. They shouldn't have done you that way. You've been wrong. It's okay. You go ahead and get even with them. And so that's the lie. Revenge is beneficial to those who carry it out. The truth is, those who refuse to take revenge will receive a blessing. That's what the Word of God says. 1 Peter 3:9. So get busy memorizing that if that's what you struggle with. Maybe, I know most of us in here are past the age of really struggling with sexual immorality, probably. Maybe not. Maybe your issues with a lot of guys struggle with pornography, sex outside of marriage, whatever. And if you don't, guess who does? Your children and your grandchildren. They're bombarded with it. I mean, it's unbelievable. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20 says, flee sexual immorality. Flee. What does that mean? Run from it. Remember what Joseph did when Ms. Potiphar grabbed him? He said, come on, big boy, we're going to the back room. What did he do? He ran. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. I did memorize 19 and 20. So the lie here is that if you'll just give in to your sexual desires, you'll be satisfied. You call that a lie. And then you claim the truth that the Bible says, if you flee sexual immorality, you'll be blessed and God will be glorified. If you struggle with negative thoughts, we read this verse of Scripture just a few minutes ago. And y'all, I run into a lot of negative believers. Oh, my glass is half empty instead of being half full. And we get negative. If you struggle with that, memorize Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, one of the things that God used in my life to set me free from some of this junk up here that was in my mind was memorizing Scripture. And that's one of the ways that I was able, when I started having kids, to God clean my mouth up. And to clean your mouth up, He's first got to clean this up. See? And so that's, God used Scripture. And I started, you remember me and Harvey Britton riding those Airdynes for all those years, and we would memorize Scripture every day. I bet we memorized hundreds of Scripture together. And so that's helped me. And so guess what I'm trying to do now? I'm trying to pour that into him. And bless his heart. He sometimes thinks his dad's a little hard on him. But on the way to school every morning, you know what we're doing? And this is that anxiety verse, Isaac. Y'all know a lot of middle schoolers struggle with anxiety and worry. And none of you women struggle with any of that, do you? But you know what the answer for anxiety and worry is? What the truth is? Philippians 4:6-7.
Be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
There it is. When I was growing up, I'm still growing up. sometimes I really struggled making good decisions and good choices sometimes. And I think all of us still struggle with that. How to make good choices. How to make good decisions. Well, there's some scripture over there in the Old Testament. It's Proverbs 3:5-6, which says,
trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths.
You see how that's blessing him? Even if it doesn't bless him, it blesses me. So, so that's going to be a key for you. Now, I know, what did I do with those things? I know what some of y'all are thinking. I'm too old to be memorizing Scripture. Well, what's your address, Barbara? Did y'all hear that? Martha, what's your telephone number? Don, what's your birthday? If you want to win the battle of the mind, and you want to learn how to take every thought captive, and you want to pull these strongholds down that Satan's raised up in your life, and you you want to have victory in your life, it comes through obedience to the truth, to the Word of God. And in order to do that, you need to begin memorizing Scripture and meditating on Scripture. I ran across these in my desk. Here's a couple of laminated Scripture cards. You can get these just about anywhere. Get you a little packet, and put you 9 or 10 verses in there, put them in your front pocket. You know what I'd do, though? Whatever it is you really struggle with, find the truth that helps you with the very lie that Satan uses to bring you down. And then quote that. Learn that Scripture. And I'll tell you, it'll be a blessing for you. Scripture memory cards. Well, all this is sure hard work. My dad used to tell me, anything worthwhile is not going to be easy. And I want to tell you, if you're going to take every thought captive and pull all these strongholds down in your life that need to come down, and against all this junk that Satan piles up against you, for you to have victory, it's going to take some work. But guess what? You've got the Spirit of God living in you. You have the Holy Spirit, and you've got the Word of God right in front of you. There's no way you can lose. You can. I'm living proof. I'm still memorizing Scripture today. You can still operate in the spiritual realm that you need to operate in, because you have the Spirit of Almighty God. Now, what I've done tonight is just give you, I guess, some ammunition. But if you don't ever pull out the gun, put the bullets in it, and aim and shoot, you're not ever going to win. You're not ever going to become all that God wants you to be in this lifetime. And so the more truth that you hide in your heart, the more truth you read and meditate on, man, the more you're going to be able to recognize error. More truth you have in your heart. And so... I know that we don't have control over these thoughts that drift through our mind, but when they pop up, we're responsible to grab hold of them, of these ugly thoughts, and take them captive. And to dwell on them is sin. And this has to become a lifestyle, a moment-by-moment dependency and sensitivity to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Remember, you can't follow and lead at the same time. Oh, that's a good word. You can't follow and lead at the same time. Remember we talked about the co-pilot stuff last week? Get in the back seat and let Him lead. And to walk in the Spirit, in closing, you must set your mind on the things of the Spirit. The Spirit's truth, and He can take every thought captive. Somebody told me a long time ago, Cal, it's all about starving the flesh and feeding the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about. Starving the flesh, calling a lie what it is, dealing with it, and then claiming truth over and against the lie that Satan has given you. And little by little, these strongholds in your life will start coming down, and you'll be able to take these bad thoughts, these impure thoughts, these thoughts that are error, not truth, you'll be able to take them captive by the Word of God. You've got everything you need tonight in order to do that. Aren't you thankful for God tonight? Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? There is no one like Him. Father, I know what You've done in my life. I've still got a long ways to go. But as I hear Billy Walker say every Sunday, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Get in the Scriptures. Meditate on them. Study them. Apply them. And Lord, all of us need to do better as far as hiding God's Word in our heart. The Scripture says if we'll hide God's Word in our heart, it'll guard us from untruth. And so, Lord, I don't know where we are in walking with the Spirit, but I thank you tonight for what you've taught us. Help us to apply the truths that we've learned. And we don't ever quit learning to you till we leave here. And then I believe we'll know infinitely more and be able to learn infinitely more than we know now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.